The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Good day, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Boomer Generation Radio. This is your host, Richard Address, coming to you from the studios of WWDB AM 860 here in the Delaware Valley and streaming live on WWDBAM.com. We're joined in the studio today by Mr. Ira Rosenblum from Optimum Strategies, and we're going to go back after these messages to talk to Ira about some fascinating and interesting issues of employment and transition for our generation.
Today, many families are expressing a growing interest in preserving the values, thoughts, and experiences of their older members so that future generations can benefit from their wisdom. This is Steve Lubetkin from Lubetkin Communications. We can create a family legacy video you'll treasure for years to come. Get more information now at lubetkin.net or call 856-751-5491. Mention Jewish Sacred Aging and you'll get a 10% discount on your family legacy video project.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Boomer Generation Radio on WWDB AM 860 and streaming live on WWDBAM.com. We're joined in the studio today by Mr. Ira Rosenblum from Optimum Strategies, which is what, Mr. Rosenblum? Welcome to the show and walk me through what Optimum Strategies is.
Well, thank you for having me. Good morning to all the listeners as well. Our company focuses exclusively on providing consulting services to CPA firms and CPA leaders. Our goal is to help them improve their financial performance and their total operatory quality so that they can improve the quality of their life as well as their earnings stream. And the profession has become an older profession. Today, based upon somewhat recent statistics from the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, we're told that over 60% of the membership, which is substantial, is over 55 years old. So they're like your listeners.
So they're a laboratory for baby boomers.
Oh, right? No question about it. A lot of baby boomers who are very proud, rightfully so, of what they've achieved.
So I imagine then in your consulting work, you do get involved in a lot of transition work, people trying to figure out what they want to do with the next stage of their life, how long to work. What does it really mean anymore? So as people in your work, as people head towards either retirement or transition, how do they begin to view this stage in their life? Is it an end or is it really a beginning?
Well, there's a mix of both perspectives. And depending upon how well balanced someone's life is outside of their professional circle, they're going to view that next stage differently. So to the extent that somebody has an extremely well-balanced lifestyle, then they're excited about how they can move towards the end of their professional career. And they're very mindful of doing it in a very well-planned format so that their partners and their clients experience as little disruption in service as possible. To the extent that it's somebody who has been much more focused on their professional life and hasn't had much qualitative distraction on leisure, this is a very difficult decision process for them because it's almost like they have nothing else in their life. And the fact of the matter is that there are graceful ways to move towards a different role and to continue to be vital and vibrant to the accounting firm. And that's an important way to look at it.
So I want you to go back to talk to me a little bit about this phrase you just used, well-balanced lifestyle. What do you, when you sit down with companies, when you sit down with people of our generation who are thinking about transitioning, what do you find? How do they define a well-balanced lifestyle?
Well, to the extent that you have leadership in a CPA firm that has made it a part of their life to take 6 to 8 weeks worth of vacation, to be a part of their family as the family has evolved, to have interests that go beyond their financial circle, so that they've dibble-dabbled in culture and they have found interests that can be exciting and differentiating, they want to spend more time. They want to be more of a grandparent, and they want to be more worldly because they've tasted it and they've enjoyed it. And they're anxious to see how that can become their reality, but they are concerned about the economic consequences that come when you stop working.
So, I mean, you spend your life professionally dealing with companies who deal with money.
Yes.
What has been, in your experience, working in consulting and working with firms, accounting firms, and people in transition, what are you seeing now with this impact of the recession and the alleged recovery, or the so-called recovery,
well,
the hopeful recovery?
You're absolutely right, Richard. These are folks who are very numbers-oriented and understand a lot of the consequences of the recent economic malaise. There's a very important concern that they have because they are so close to their clients and they live through the world of economic distress, not at a global level, but on an individual level. One of the main concerns that these people have is with reference to the quality of their health as they're going to age.
What do you mean?
And the cost of healthcare as they move forward. And they don't want to be a burden on anybody as they age. So the concern is, what will be the quality of care and how much will it cost me? Because since they are so numerically savvy, they understand, and I'm not intending to go into politics, but they understand that the budget at a global level in this country has to be addressed. And what that's going to lead to is some consequences that will create more responsibility for individuals and less responsibility for the government. So therefore, do I have enough money put aside for that? And it can be rather significant. That is something that, even though the market has recovered in recent times, there is still this big question mark, because they can understand the market a lot better than they can understand the movement of healthcare. And the rate of increase in healthcare costs have far exceeded what their return on their investments have been in the market.
Well, from what we're reading in the work that I do in the aging and baby boomer world, I keep seeing that healthcare costs in this country represent something around 18% of the gross national product, with an expectation to rise. So, it would seem to me, and you deal with this, our generation from the business perspective, this is becoming more and more and more a real issue. Even allowing people to continue to work,
yes,
longer than they want to work, because of this fear that they're one catastrophic illness away from ruin.
And that is the reality that I live in day in and day out, because on the one hand, I'll call them a founder of that particular CPA firm, is tired. They don't enjoy the administrative hassles that come about by being a founder or a leader. But on the other hand, they're concerned about, if I stop, the economics will stop as well, and all these costs continue to mount. And what can I count on? I can't count on my investment portfolio growing. I can count on making a living, because as a profession, the accounting profession is highly in demand. The economics are very strong on the top line. There's big, big need for more and more accountants. So they can see that that is something they can rely on and they can clearly count. So they are looking to work longer, scale back on hours because they are tiring, or more specifically, to put it nicer, to focus much more so on the client and less so on the administration and the marketing of their practice.
So, but people working longer, I know in various other professions, this is happening. People are working longer. Instead of retiring at 62, 64, 65, I'll keep pushing it till I'm 68, 69. What does that do to the bottom end of people trying to get into the profession?
This is a great question, and I'm delighted that you're going in this direction. There are more young people coming into the profession now than there were several years ago, and that's very encouraging because there is so much demand, and truthfully, there is some malaise within the profession at the older level. What we're finding is that in order to balance all this out, this senior partner in a firm is going to agree to freeze their equity and freeze their buyout at a price so that they will no longer participate in the upward equity growth of the practice and therefore leave money on the table so that when they do retire, let's say they retire in 5 years, they're using the price from 5 years ago or from today, and that is not making it as economically difficult for the next generation to buy them out. They're getting a bargain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one way of coping with this particular reality to make it easier. On the other hand, when you look at the baby boom generation, and it spans roughly an 18-year period, the fellows, and it's highly a male-oriented leadership structure. There are females, but at that point in time, not a lot of them were involved.
But women are coming.
Coming in now.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
But in the baby boom group, it would
it's
be much more
male.
in the trailing baby boom section, not in the early stage baby
right.
boom. But here's the interesting part. The people who are in their 50s are leading the firm, and the people who are in their 60s are interested in leaving the firm. And so they're both within that baby boom spectrum, but the people in their 50s are basically saying, you need to leave more on the table for us because we know we need to work longer. We have to be here 20 years instead of 15 years, and you've got to cooperate with us. But that's the tension that they have, both in that same baby boom picture, but each looking at it differently.
How about people who choose to work and you talk to firms and these people, let's say people in their 60s who don't want to retire, not because they don't have the money, but because there's a real fear of what do I do now? I'm so used to the last 40 years. Every single day I had an identity, and in America, as you know, work is our identity.
Mm-hmm.
And if I stop, what do I do?
That is a very real concern. And again, depending upon the size of the firm, you can deal with it somewhat better. In a small firm, the options become somewhat limited. In a larger firm, there's a strong interest in preserving the involvement of that founder or senior partner because they have a wealth of knowledge. They have a wealth of commitments and connections. And the name of the game in a large firm, let's call it a firm that has three or more partners for purposes of this conversation, we work very diligently on creating the right kind of new routine that allows that person to slow down, but to still be a very vital piece of that particular firm's progress and success. So there's going to be mentoring young staff people. They're going to be still working with the clients, but on a reduced basis so that they're able to stage their transition and not go cold turkey. And they're going to have to find other interests because that's part of staying mentally healthy as well.
Right, right.
And that's working successfully. In a smaller arena, it is much more difficult to do that. And you have to be that much more creative and that much more diligent about it.
Yeah, I find it fascinating that you know, this concept of trying to phase a retirement and allow a person who has a lifetime of experience to be involved in training and mentoring and just gradually wind down as opposed to just say, you know, on August 31st, you're done. Goodbye. Go play golf.
Look, what we find is that there's some interesting results that come about. We allow for this extended transition. And then once this person who didn't have the best balance in his or her life starts to experience a balance, they then say, you know what, maybe next year I only want to work 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And they begin to see that retirement isn't such a bad thing. And what we need to do is make sure that they give proper notice to the firm that they are going to cut off significantly because they can't put the firm at a disadvantage. So it's almost like you had somebody who never experienced chocolate cake. You give them a piece of chocolate cake and they never have enough from that point forward. So it's a very interesting transition that goes on once they begin to see life in a different fashion.
No, I know. I have some very good friends of mine who we were talking about before the show who that's where they are right now in their firms. They're easing themselves out. They're cutting back and more to enjoy being a grandfather and, you know, traveling and but still keeping their hands in the game, so to speak.
The younger generation can be extremely stimulating to the mind of the founders. And once they start the mentoring, when they were working with the clients, they had very little time to mentor the staff. Now that you change their routine and they actually get to experience the personality and the mind fiber work of young people, they find it to be a very stimulating experience, and they talk with the young people about what the tools the young people make use of that can be beneficial to today's client. The things that practitioner never knew existed that we can now bring to the forefront, and the practitioner opens the mind of the young person as to the mindset of a client. Mm-hmm. How does a client react? How does a client express their concern? And more importantly, how do you get a client to open up to you?
The real world.
That is absolutely. And you know what? You don't lose that touch. That is something that's the gold that seasoned practitioner has mined for years, and that is the beauty of keeping him or her in the firm.
You're listening to Boomer Generation Radio here on WWDB AM 860, streaming live on WWDBAM.com. And we are joined this morning here at the studio by Ira Rosenblum from Optimum Strategies, talking a lot about transition and what it's like to transition. And speaking of transitions and a little bit of money and the need to conserve and plan, let me remind you of the Hecht Investment Group of Janie Montgomery Scott, which provides concierge financial consulting and planning services. Using a formal investment process as their foundation, clients receive frequent communication and rapid response to questions. There are no needs greater than your own when it comes to personal financial planning, and the Hecht Investment Group provides experienced guidance and an efficient management process that is important in today's environment. So we invite you to contact the Hecht Investment Group toll-free at 855-289-2168. That's 855-289-2168. And you can visit them at hectinvestmentgroup.com. And they're also on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter, the matched set in today's social media sort of like menu. Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's the Hecht Investment Group. Tell them you heard about it on Boomer Generation Radio. And again, the toll-free number is 855-289-2168. Back with our guest, Ira Rosenblum from Optimum Strategies, based in New Jersey, correct?
Correct. We have two offices, one in North Jersey and one in South Jersey.
So here on WWDB AM 860 and streaming live on WWDBAM.com, Boomer Generation Radio. Ira, in talking about this whole phase in and phase out of work and real work and the challenge of generations and mentoring, and do you see a lot of our generation really taking to this idea of mentoring that really wants to give? I call it the give back syndrome, that they really want to give something back to younger colleagues.
There's no question that they would like to give back because they know what it was like for them to start the practice from the get-go. And most of these founders view it as a big turnoff when they hear their other partners say, we need to merge up. It's almost like there was a failure. And so they are strong advocates, these founders, these more senior people, of building up that next generation. They recognize that they may not have all of the skills necessary to be a good mentor. And so they need some sense of direction, oftentimes from someone like myself, to give them the parameters for a mentoring process. What do I talk about? How do I start the conversation? Once you get me going, I'm great. Mm-hmm. But how do I get it going?
So how do you get it going?
I mean, well, the best approach that I have found is to really delve into the mutual comfort process. Number one, they share a common client. So you've been working with me on ABC Distributors, or you've been working with me and Tom on ABC Distributors for quite a while. I'd like to tell you how we generated this client and how we have helped them over these years and what I have found to be important. And I'd like to work with you on how we can take them even further than they've been, because you have so many skills that I don't have, but I'm open to it. Would you be open to this type of conversation? So what we're doing is, the first step is we're bringing them together on a point of common interest, which is we're here to take care of a client, which is a very important message, which we've delivered in a subtle fashion. Number two, we're talking about basically technology and efficiencies that the younger person is much more savvy to than the older person. And this common conversation is a great way for them to get started. The place that you don't want to be is to say, you know, I have a granddaughter or a grandson that's your age. And that's the turnoff. That's now I'm talking to a parent instead of talking to
a colleague.
A colleague and a mentor.
So this is a partnership type of thing.
Correct. And it could be mentoring a younger partner, or it can be mentoring someone with 3 or 4 years of experience. As a matter of fact, the founder tends to prefer to mentor the person with 3 or 4 years of experience than the person that they've been partners with for a number of years, because there's all kinds of history that goes back and forth.
In your work, what's the role now of technology and social media in what you're seeing? Are you seeing the younger colleagues that you're working with in firms so much more attuned and useful in this type of experience as opposed to our generation, or does it really make any difference?
Well, I will tell you that the technology has enhanced the profitability of the profession, period. Depending upon what stage you are in the career, the older person is going to be a stronger advocate for using technology, although not understanding how it's to be done, because they come from the school of bottom line. They have experienced difficult economic upbringing over the years. They've seen good and bad times, and they focus heavily on bottom line. A generation earlier is going to focus on longer-term investment in a relationship, and therefore technology can or cannot be an important piece of it. And the youngest person is going to focus on, we can do it that much quicker, we can give that much better information. So technology is uniting firms. It's a costly process, but strangely enough, it tends to be the older person who's going to advocate the investment. It's the person in their 50s that is betwixt and between about how we're going to maintain this whole thing that will be a little bit more guarded on the investment, but the older person will be less guarded about it. And in truth, most of these people who are concerned about their health care are at a stage in life where they don't have a mortgage any longer. They're not underwriting the cost of college for their children. So on a routine basis, they don't see the economic routine as struggling to them. They're concerned about that big unknown, but they can be very supportive of technology. And many of those older people are much more active with Facebook and LinkedIn than the people in their 50s are.
Well, assuming that, yes, I would take your word for it. Although, yes, I include myself in that. I've on Facebook, but I don't understand the rest of it. And certainly not Twitter. I'm still trying to struggle with what that means, although who knows. One of the things we were talking about before the show and some of the generational difference is in the firms that you deal with and in the transition consulting, the transition and retirement that you deal with, is this idea of lifestyle and the importance of lifestyle amongst younger, the importance of a quality of life component with younger people as opposed to baby boom generation. Could you just speak to that, what you're seeing?
Well, what we see is that the younger people have many, many more priorities in the way of a balance in their life. And as a result, they have commitments that can easily take them away from the office place. Where the baby boom generation had made other commitments as an afterthought or as a pump to generate new business, the young people are doing things because they enjoy these other things versus having it be a necessity. The thrilling part of working with the young and the seasoned is where you can draw the two of them together. The young people are absolutely stimulated by solving problems. They want to make a fine living, but they've been taught so well in college as to the methodology of solving a problem and the intrigue and the gratification that comes about by doing it. The more that the older generation can empower them to be the problem solver, the more apt they are to find the time to be more available to work and not use the excuse, I have to leave to do X, Y, and Z. They still may have a responsibility to do it, but they're going to find the time. So they may come back at 8:30 at night to take care of it, or better yet, when you talk about technology, so many accounting firms are virtual that they can work from their home, they can work from Starbucks, they can work from the field and get it done because they want to help their client. And if we focus much more so on the stimulation that comes from problem solving, we're going to have a whole generation of people wanting to stay in public accounting, but working different hours and working differently, but having a very happy life and a happy client.
So work, the nature of work really is changing
Absolutely.
Right now in our country. It really is the 9-to-5 job, like in the old classic 50s movies, that's gone. Is that correct?
It's changing radically, and it's much more a productivity function. Please get these jobs done. We don't care when you get them done. However, we will have core hours. We need to have a client know that if they call between X and Y, they can reach a live body. But it's less of that formality, and it's more, we're here to provide X amount of service in a year. You must deliver it, and we need to have client satisfaction. That's your commitment.
We'll be right back with some parting words from Ira Rosenblum of Optimum Strategies right after these words.
One great way to preserve the values, thoughts, and experiences of your family's older members for future generations is to commission a family legacy documentary. Hi, this is Steve Lubetkin from Lubetkin Communications. We produce family legacy videos by recording conversations with your family members on high-definition video. We weave a story by interspersing your loved one's recollections with photos, family treasures, home movies, and video, just like the documentaries you love to watch on television. It's a powerful way to add context and understanding to your family's traditions and stories. It'll help your loved ones live on as they explain how your family's story came to unfold in the way that it did. Get more information now at lubetkin.net or call us at 856-751-5491. Mention Jewish Sacred Aging and you'll get a 10% discount on your family video project.
Back again to Boomer Generation Radio here on WWDB AM 860. Our guest today, Ira Rosenblum from Optimum Strategies. First of all, Ira, thank you very, very much for giving of your time to share some of your expertise and experience with us. And in the about 40 seconds that we have left, if somebody wants to contact you and Optimum Strategies, how do they do it?
Well, I appreciate the time. I have a website. They can send me an email, ira@optimumstrategies.com. They can certainly call me at 215-694-8084, which is my Pennsylvania number, or my cell 973-666-1980.
You want to do those numbers real fast one more time?
Pennsylvania number, which is good for South Jersey too, 215-694-8084, and the cell is 973-666-1980.
For all of us here at Boomer Generation Radio, thank you to Tony again for another great job on the board. And we wish you a very, very lovely day. Stay cool. It's very, very warm outside. Hydrate. Listen, everybody, take care of yourself. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.